Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 67 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. Due to all the free agent moves, the storylines, the frenzy of the last 72 hours or so, we had to do a second episode of going over all the moves. We did one a few days ago, check that out, but right after we did it, so many other things happened, and then the last couple of days, even more. So we're going to do another one here, and with me, as usual, my good friend, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, man, it's been a crazy few days.
This has been absolute insanity, but it's been so fun. I mean, you can't beat what's going on. It feels like the NBA, like I don't follow the NBA hardcore, but the NBA offseason, like the minute the gates open, it's just like everybody signs. And this is what it's felt like recently with the lockout obviously looming. And when you're listening to this tomorrow, the lockout obviously has begun. So yeah, it's crazy, but it's been fun. I kind of wish that MLB would do like a dead period in the winter. So say like through December 1st, you can sign, and there's a dead period through like the end of January for signings maybe. I don't know. It just creates such a fun environment. It's been tiresome trying to keep up with all of it as a, as a right. writer, but yeah, it's been fun to see and fun to follow for sure.
Yeah, I even tweeted the other day. I was like, I know this is all because of the looming lockup, but man, this has been fun. Like he said, it's been hard to keep up. Like every, you know, few minutes I'm getting, like, it's funny. I have during this time of the year, I have notifications on for like Jeff Passan and all those types of guys. Yeah. It's like, and I get disappointed when I say, oh, new notification, Jeff Passan just tweeted, but it's like not a signing. It's just him saying whatever. I'm like, oh man, I get disappointed. But yeah, it's been so many huge signings. Just, you know, over the last, I think 3 days, it's been like $1.5 billion of contracts or something like that. Crazy handed out. So we're going to break it all down from a fantasy perspective, what this all these moves might mean for 2022, for Dynasty. Going to be a lot of fun. But before we do that, let's get into the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at Roto Clegg. I'm at AirCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/FantraxToolshed, for extra content from both of us. And, of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including our other podcasts, SB Streamer, Fantasy Hockey Life, Fantasy Football Addicts, Define Fantasy Football, and Fantasy Football POV. But let's get right into it, Chris. We had a lot to get through. Like this is probably the biggest show outline we've ever had in our now 67 episodes. So many moves to get to, but let's start with the big shortstop signings here. Three of the big five have signed so far. Marcus Semien went to the Texas Rangers, 7 years, $175 million. Corey Seager also went to Texas, making their new middle infield there, 10 years, $325 million. And Javier Baez to Detroit, 6 at $140 million. Let's start with Semien. You know, the huge breakout year this past year, hit 48 home runs. But I think we've both kind of mentioned it before on previous pods. We're both kind of, you know, not believing that he can kind of sustain that type of level of production. He's going in the second round ADP on average right now. Don't believe that either. But Chris, what are your thoughts on Marcus Semien moving to the Texas Rangers?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a downgrade from a lineup standpoint. He was hitting in the best lineup in baseball, at the top of the best lineup in baseball at that. The 45 home runs, I'd say, was a complete fluke. Even though he did perfect pulling those fly balls right in the corner, you look at his spray chart, and it's exactly what he did. He just peppered them right in the corner, the smallest part of the park. And actually, Globe Life Field is pretty small out there in the left field corner. So I'm not saying, yeah, he's not going to hit 45 home runs again, but 30 wouldn't surprise me. But when you look at the counting stats, yeah, he had 115 runs and 102 RBI last year. Not happening again in this lineup, I don't think. Obviously, the addition of Seager definitely benefits that, but the lineup as a whole is nowhere near Toronto's lineup. So we're going to see some regression, but what Semien has going for him is that he plays constantly. He's constantly on the field. The last three seasons, 162 in 2019, played 53 of 60 in 2020, and then played 162 again last season. So he's an accumulator. I mean, three times in his career gone over 700 plate appearances, which is huge. He compiles stats, and that also benefits him. That matters for fantasy too. Plate appearances do matter. There's going to be regression. Am I buying him in the second round? No, but it's not a terrible landing spot. You're going to see a lot of production drop off from the run and RBI standpoint, but 30-15 wouldn't surprise me. The Rangers do like to run a lot. They give the guys a green light. He stole 15 bags last year, so why won't he do it again?
Yeah, no, I think 30-15 is definitely reasonable. I think that profile, it's attainable too. Like, you look at his metrics, you know, they were above average, the quality of contact metrics, but didn't really, like, if you looked at his Savant page without knowing he had 45 home runs, you wouldn't think he hit 45 home runs. You probably think, oh, he probably hit low 30s or something like that. But yeah, so definitely I think there's some regressions coming. If people think that you're going to get a repeat of 2021, I think they're going to be really, really disappointed with their investment. But yeah, I think third round I'd be okay with Semien. Like, you look at him, you know, he's gonna have dual eligibility, second base and shortstop. Look at him, you know, in the rankings there. You know, for shortstops, I would take obviously Tatis, Turner, Bichette over him. And then he kind of comes in the conversation in that second tier. Like, Chris, would you rather have for 2022? Would you rather have Semien or let's say Xander Bogaerts?
That's where I figured you're going. I'll take Bogaerts.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah. But then after that, like the two guys I have right behind, or three guys I have right behind him, like Wander Franco, Corey Seager, Lindor, Tim Anderson, those types, I would probably still take Semien over them slightly for 2022 purposes. Yeah, I think he's still going to be a very good middle infielder for fantasy. Like we both said, 30-15 is definitely possible. The Seager addition definitely helps. I think that there's some other decent bats in that lineup. It's not great. Obviously, it's not Toronto. You don't got Vladdy, Bo, Teoscar, etc. around you there, who are three of the top 25 hitters last year, but still a decent enough lineup around him. So I think definitely still a top like 40-ish player this year. And so that dual eligibility will be huge. What about how are you feeling on Seager? Obviously, he's a guy that needs to hit for average, needs to hit for power. He doesn't bring any speed to the table. One steal each the last 3 years, and he's never really put it all together. Like, he's flashed, you know, that elite type of hitter that he can be, but he only has 2 years above 20 home runs. Career high is 87 RBIs. He's a 297 hitter with a 367 OBP, but it's never really put it together, and he's had some injuries, only played over 100 games three times, had 95 games played in 2021. Where are you at on Seager right now?
He's tough. I really like Seager, but you go back and his best season by far was his rookie year in 2016, at least his first full season in 2016 when he won Rookie of the Year. I mean, he put up 687 plate appearances that year, hasn't sniffed it since, and steadily declined with 613 the next year, 115, 541, 232. He did stay healthy in the shortened 2020 season, and then just 409 this year. Seager's an elite hit power combo, like 30 home run pop, 300 average, but you have to worry about him staying on the field. I think that's a big factor, and it's hard to project him for really more than, I don't know, I'd say 125, 130 games, because once again, you look and he's only gone over 130 three times in his career, 2019, 2017, and 2016. So the injuries are just concerning. They always just seem to linger with him. But when he's on the field, he's really, really good. And he's the type of player that I don't think is really affected by it, this ballpark change. Yeah, the lineup context, again, he was in the Dodgers lineups. That context matters. But he's not going to be one that's going to like see a drop in home runs from moving this park because his power's good. Like, he's got legit power. Not really worried about that. And you saw that last season in the postseason because this is – Globe Life Field is where the – NLCS and the World Series were held, and Seager just mashed there. So yeah, he's not one that concerns me at all from the park move, but I think the biggest concern with him is just staying on the field.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree. I think he's actually a good buy right now, both in 2022 drafts and in Dynasty right now, because, you know, he has never, like I said, he's never put it together. So I think people are kind of wondering, all right, maybe we overvalued Seager a bit. Like, his ADP right now is 68.4, 11th shortstop off the board, according to NFBC ADP data. So I've even dropped him down a little bit down my Dynasty rankings. But I think right now is a good time to go and try to, you know, maybe you can get him for 90 cents on the dollar. Maybe the person that's rostered him has been a little frustrated by the, you know, the games played not being quite what it should be. So I still love Corey Seager. Like, you look at his metrics, they're still off the charts. Like, this year, you know, he hit 306, 394, 521. Look at Savant, 95th percentile max exit velo at 115.3. Average exit velo has been over 91 miles an hour each of the last 2 years. Barrel rate well over 10%, been 15.8 and 12.4 the last 2 years. All the expected metrics back that up. Hard hit rate, one of the best in the league each of the last 2 years. K rate has been below 20% in 6 out of 7 years. Walk rate pushed over 10% again this year. So yeah, there's a lot to like. You look at the profile and it's a very, very good profile. Like, just need, like we both said, needs to stay on the field. So hopefully that can happen this year, but he's a guy that I'm definitely gonna be targeting both as a buy low in Dynasty and in 2022 drafts. And then the guy that's going right, just a smidge ahead of him on average at 68.1, Javier Baez, who signed with Detroit. Obviously, look at the profile for Javier Baez, a lot more volatility than both Semien and Corey Seager. But just like we kind of were talking about before we came on the air, he's always there. He's always putting up stats. Like outside of the 1 year last year where he hit 203 with the Cubs, but it was the COVID season. I'm giving most everybody a pass for that. But look at every other year. He's a 264 career hitter. You know, a lot of 289, 273, 273, 290, 265 this past year between the Cubs and the Mets, and really took off with the Mets at 299, 371, 515, overall 31 home runs, 18 steals. That'll play. So yeah, he's maddening to roster because of the inconsistencies he shows and you know the slumps he can go into because of that approach. But man, it's hard to argue with 31-18.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely elite power and speed here. There is a slight concern because from a park factor standpoint, Comerica is one of the worst parks for home runs. But like I said with Seager, I think that Baez has enough power to get away with it. You look in his max exit velo last year was 116.7, which was the highest of his career, 98th percentile there. He does hit the ball hard consistently. So I don't think he's like overly affected. I actually pulled up his spray chart and yeah, I think that he'll be okay. I think there may be a slight decline in home runs, but he pulls the ball enough and goes opposite field enough where he may actually benefit. Center field's just the deepest point there at like 420. But even still, I'm looking at his home runs and overlaid in Comerica. There's no home runs that would be taken away by Comerica Park, actually. It actually looks like he has several doubles and fly balls that were outs that would be home runs there. So that's interesting to think about too, because Baez had a ton of deep opposite field balls that would be out in Comerica. So he may be one that can beat it. And even if he doesn't, like that park does play up for other things like triples, and Baez has the speed and doubles. So, you know, Baez is the type that could really pepper the gaps there and have a major power surge from that standpoint, put up a high slug, high OPS. So it'll be interesting to see. I think his batting average could definitely see an increase as well. So yeah, it'll be fun to watch. I think he could play fine here in Comerica. And, you know, I think the Tigers are getting better. Obviously, we're going to see Torque coming up soon. They're going to have Riley Green up, so the lineup's going to get better. And this also benefits the pitchers because Baez is a good defender at shortstop. So I think this move pushes the needle forward for the Tigers, despite what some people think is a good contract. $23 million a year is not bad for a player like Baez. Yeah. And yeah, there's volatility, but the contact rates improved significantly last year in New York. Not saying that'll stick because it was a small sample, but there was reason for optimism. So I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't mind that contract at all. They had a nice up-and-coming rotation as well. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team or anything like that, but definitely a team on the rise with a lot of intriguing talent. He mentioned Green and Torque coming up probably first half of the year as well. So, yeah, definitely a nice addition there for Detroit. I needed the addition for Detroit, too, and the defense that Baez brings as well. And just the leadership and the energy that he brings. He's just a good guy to have on your roster. Who would you know, since they're right back to back, who would you rather have for 2022, Baez or Seager?
It honestly just depends on team construction, I think, which is just like, it's a cop-out answer. But if you get steals early, then I think you can go with Seager because he's a safe bag and average floor and power. But if you need some steals, like I think that's where you bank on Baez. Like I feel like the speed really drops off after that, and he's the type that could really steal you some bases. So and has the power with it. So it just depends. I think there's some volatility there, which could lead me to take Seager, but I think I feel like I'm copping out saying this about team construction, but
no, but it really is though. That's a great answer because they're different players, you know, a little more volatility or a lot more volatility with Baez, but you know, you get the safety with Seager, different profiles. So yeah, definitely a good answer though. Not a cop out. One more middle infielder slash outfielder slash wherever the Dodgers want to put him. Chris Taylor went back to the Dodgers, which is not surprising. 4 years, $60 million. One of the more recent signings today. I kind of was hoping the Red Sox would go after him for their second base or center field opening, but that didn't happen, obviously. You know, Taylor kind of up and down year, but overall the numbers are pretty solid. 254, 344, 438 slash, 20 home runs, 13 steals, 73 RBI, and 92 runs scored in 582 plate appearances. Chris, what are your thoughts on, you know, Taylor's kind of what he is at this point. I think everyone kind of knows what they're getting when they draft Chris Taylor. You get the, you know, the good all-around production, a little bit of power, a little bit of speed, multi-position eligibility, which is very nice. That flexibility is huge. But where are you at on Taylor? And then how do you think this kind of plays out? Because now are we looking at Gavin Lux back to the bench? Because now it looks like Taylor, at least according to the roster resource, they have obviously Turner's at short, Taylor's back in the mix, and now he'll move around a bit too. But I think this is definitely a hindrance for Gavin Lux in 2022.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it. I don't know how it all shakes out. Honestly, I think Muncy might be the hinge. If he has a torn UCL and has to miss the season, like that was kind of out of the blue the other day when he just kind of said that, like his torn UCL wasn't healing like he expected.
Yeah.
Like, if he has to have Tommy John, then he's obviously out for the year. Hitters do recover faster, but so that means Bellinger probably bumps back to first in that case. And that opens up some time for Lux potentially. I don't know. Taylor is the Swiss Army knife that can play anywhere. I'm surprised he didn't get a bigger contract. I really thought he would do better than this after that season. But even still, I think you're right. He kind of is what he is. I think we know what he's going to provide. Last year was a great season for him, 2013. Home runs and stolen bases, that is. So, yeah, I mean, he's not going to hit for a high average. But I do think there's the power speed element that is intriguing. And he's going much later in drafts than I thought he would. So he's kind of an intriguing buy a little later if you're still in need of some speed there.
Yeah, his ADP right now is 163, 20th shortstop off the board, right between Brendan Rodgers and Gleyber Torres. So, yeah, especially if you get him, you can kind of move him around. So later in the draft, if you're a little light on outfield, you know, or second base shortstop pick, he's a good guy to have. That multi-position eligibility lets you do some things later on in the draft and fill some spots you need. So, yeah, Taylor's a guy I definitely will be targeting. But, yeah, Muncy, yeah, that's the wild card because, like you said, if he misses the year, Taylor goes out the center field, and then Bellinger to first, opening up second base for Gavin Lux. But, you know, maybe Muncy doesn't miss the season. It's still kind of in flux there. So, but right now, definitely a hit to Gavin Lux, unfortunately. Like, I hope Gavin Lux somehow gets playing time, but I think that will take Max Muncy missing time for that to happen, unfortunately. Or at least gets full-time playing time. Like, he'll still play. Like, you can put Lux in the outfield a little bit, second base, shortstop. He's kind of like a Chris Taylor type of player where he can play multiple positions. So he'll still get his time. But, yeah, definitely kind of makes it a little more little less clear than it was 24 hours ago or even 6 hours ago when we're recording this. So but let's go back over to the AL Central here that happened. This was the first move to happen right after we recorded this past Sunday. Byron Buxton extended 7 years, $100 million. That'll keep him in Minnesota through the year 2028. There's been kind of a mixed, mixed review on this on Twitter, on social media in general. Some people love it. Some people don't love it because of the injuries. But I think this is, if Buxton can stay healthy, and I know huge if, talking about a guy that's played 100 games once in his career back in 2017, but this could be a huge value because we've seen what he can do when he's on the field. Let's look at 2021 alone, 306, 358, 647, 19 home runs, 9 steals in just 61 games. Like back in 2019, 10 home runs and 14 steals in 87 games. 2020, 13 home runs in 39 games. Like obviously we know, you look at Savant Page, just lit up in red, power, speed, it's all there. But I don't know. At this point, are you kind of targeting Buxton this year for 2022 and maybe in Dynasty via trade, or are you kind of staying away until he proves that he can finally stay on the field full time, or at least give me 130 games?
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to be risk adverse in drafts, and if he gives me 120 games, I'd be happy. I think he fulfills the draft price there. This isn't a bad contract for either side. I mean, he only played 61 games last year and put up a 4.2 WAR. He got his contract's 14.3 mil a year. He was worth double that last year in 61 games. So, yeah, it's not a bad contract. He's proved that he can perform. He just got to stay healthy. So, I don't think the Twins would have done this deal if they didn't think he was healthy right now. So at least he's probably healthy right now. At least we hope so. But I don't know. He's a tough one. I'm not drafting him anywhere. I'm not going to get burned by the injuries, but it'll probably be the year that he stays healthy for once. And then everybody buys him next year. He gets hurt again. So that's the tough thing with him. But did you see the joy on his face? I don't even saw the pictures when he was signing the contract today.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was so cool to see. So yeah, good for Buxton staying in Minnesota. Good for Minnesota giving him that deal. Awesome, awesome to see.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, he's one that I really like. I like Byron Buxton. I love watching him play. Even defensively, he's just flying all around center field. You know, great arm. Like, this is one of the best all-around players in baseball that just hasn't had a chance to stay in the field long enough to show it consistently. For 2022, I have him as currently as my 24th outfielder. So I'm being a little bit cautious there. He definitely could be a top 15 for sure. Could be top 10 if he stays in the field for 120 games. I think he could be up there. Like, my number 10 outfielder right now is Yordan Alvarez. And I won't be surprised if Buxton, if he stays in the field, produces similar value overall to Yordan Alvarez this year. And then overall in Dynasty, I am 62nd overall right now. He's kind of been between 50 and 70 for the most part. He's a guy I just want to put top 25. Like, give me that 1 year. Give me a reason, Buxton, to bump you way up, top 25, top 30. He definitely has that potential. So, yeah, so for this year, it's kind of different. For Dynasty, I'm still buying. But for 2022, I'm probably not going to have many shares of Buxton as I'm, yeah, a little more risk adverse at that point in the draft than he provides. Another kind of sneaky signing here, a guy that kind of goes under the radar every single year because he doesn't have the huge numbers, but he's always a really solid hitter year in, year out. This Abisail Garcia went down to the Miami Marlins, 4 years, $53 million, coming off a year, arguably probably is the best year of his career, either this year or 2017. This year, 262, 330, 490. Career high 29 home runs, career high 86 RBI, 68 runs scored, added 8 steals as well for the Milwaukee Brewers. As one of their best hitters this year. Are you liking this move down to Miami for Abisail Garcia, Chris?
Not really, because he leaves a great lineup and a great home park and an really easy NL Central to an extent. And now he's going to Miami, which is not a great park for home runs at all. And yeah, he's kind of like a Statcast darling to an extent, but I think we should expect closer to 20 home runs than 29 like he did last year. So it'll be interesting. The lineup context definitely isn't as great, but I do think that he's interesting. Do you have the ADP up where he's going?
I can't. Yeah. 1 second here. I'm on shortstop. Yeah. So move over to outfield. He is at 192 as the 51st outfielder off the board. Really intriguing range too, because like the three right in front of him were Joey Gallo, Ian Happ, Michael Conforto. Three behind him, Jorge Soler, Austin Hayes, AJ Pollock, and then Andrew Vaughn's right around there as well. So that 190 to like 210 range on outfielders is pretty intriguing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll get a lot of them there. He was definitely very solid last season. I don't think you should expect a repeat of that. So, yeah, he'll be interesting, but I don't really love the move from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, no, I'm there with you. I think it's a decent time to sell high on Garcia because, yeah, you look at what he's shown previously. Like, before this, he was pretty consistently right around a 20-homer bat. 2017, 18, and 19, he had 18, 19, and 20 home runs, and this year broke out for 29. So, I think it could be – like he said, he's a solid hitter. I think he's an underrated hitter, but – I think that now might be a good time to sell high in Dynasty. And, you know, I'm not opposed to that ADP. I think it's fair. But I like Ian Happ more for 2022. I like Michael Conforto more. I think he's going to be a great value going near, you know, pick 190 or so. I think I like Jorge Soler more. Austin Hayes, maybe. I'm not sure. But, yeah, if it came down to, like, would you take Conforto, Happ, or Garcia there? How do you rank those three for 2022?
Conforto, Happ, Garcia, that order.
Yep, same here. So they're all going right back to back to back. I would take the other two over Garcia at that point in the draft. So, yeah, but definitely solid, but not great move here to Miami. We already hit on the Max Muncy news here, so let's go over to more of the minor news here. There's a lot of other just minor deals that are, you know, at least noteworthy. We won't dive in too far into these moves, but some intriguing moves just to keep an eye on. Rougned Odor went to the Baltimore Orioles, another another low contact, high power guy. Kind of fits Baltimore well with what they've shown the last few years. Cole Calhoun went to Texas 1 year, $10 million. Clint Frazier went to the Cubs after being let go by the New York Yankees, finally. Cesar Hernandez went to the Nats. That's kind of intriguing. Could hit high on the order right in Vernasoto, so that's got some intrigue there. Jorge Alfaro was traded to San Diego, creating a logjam at catcher there. Yan Gomes, another catcher, went to the Cubs. And then another trade here, which is kind of intriguing. Joey Wendell went from Tampa Bay to Miami in exchange for Cameron Meisner, who we saw out in the Arizona Fall League. Didn't have the stats, but impressive. You know, power speed is there. See if the hit tool is there. But, you know, out of all these moves here, Chris, is there a move or two that you're intrigued by more than the others for fantasy purposes?
I mean, crazy enough, like Rougned Odor in like a deep draft and hold. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that
power, the lefty power at Camden. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to play every day. He hit 30 home runs his last full season. So, you know, might as well take a, he's going to go so late in like a deep draft and hold where there's like 700 plus players rostered. I think that's an intriguing one. Clint Frazier, man, I don't know. I don't want to go back to the well on Frazier, but he should play every day in Chicago.
It's hard to get both feet out the door though. Like I've 1 foot out and like 1 foot's doing like the toe tap, like wide receiver toe tap drag out of bounds, but it's still there. Yeah, I can't fully get out of Clint Frazier, but you know, maybe he gets some playing time finally, and maybe he needed the change of scenery. So that could be a nice bounce back there. It looks like, do they have him starting? No, they have him platooning in the outfield with Jason Hayward. So we'll see how that plays out. But that's at least a little bit intriguing.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I mean, none of the other ones are doing much for me. Cesar Hernandez should play every day in Washington. And, you know, I don't know how much he has left in the tank, but kind of just like gets it done.
Right? Yeah, he's a little bit of pop, you know. Definitely a late round kind of, you need some cheap power or some depth at second base, middle infield. That definitely a decent one there. Joey Wendell has always been kind of intriguing. I don't think he's going to play. He's probably a bench bat. I don't know where he fits in. They got Miguel Rojas, Jazz Chisholm. Obviously, he's going to start. You know, they have Brian Anderson down there, who's a decent enough bat. So I think Wendell is going to be similar situation to where he was in Tampa Bay, kind of playing multiple infield positions, backing up everybody. So, but Meisner, I think he still got some intrigue. That, like I said, that power speed, like there's big time raw power there, good speed as well. This needs the hit tool to kind of take a step forward. And I think if that happens, he could be a really solid fantasy asset. But where are you at on Meisner? Are you still kind of in on Meisner?
Yeah. I mean, despite the numbers from the fall league, like I thought he was pretty impressive. He hits the ball really hard. He's got quick hands through the zone. And the speed element's really good in his game too. But if the contact ticks up, then he's a very intriguing prospect. So, yeah, I'm still in. And I actually like the move to Tampa. I think Tampa can do something with him.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, you know, it's can't hurt going to Tampa Bay, right? They usually find something in their players that a lot of other organizations can't find. So, yeah, maybe a change of scenery was needed with Cameron Meisner. He's at least got that power speed, like I mentioned. So, intriguing prospect that you can get for pretty cheap right now in Dynasty Leagues. Probably get you, you know, you probably trade a, you know, top 200, 250 guy to get Meisner right now, which I definitely think would be worth it. Cause if the hit tool improves there, he could be a really solid fantasy player for sure. That wraps up the hitters. Let's go take a quick break, come back on the other side and get into all the pitchers that signed. So don't go anywhere.
We'll be back with more Fantrax Toolshed right after this.
All right, welcome back from the break. Let's get into pitchers now. There were a lot of them that signed. The three biggest ones here we'll start with. Max Scherzer went to the New York Mets, 3 years, $650 billion per year. Oh, wait, sorry. No, $130 million over the 3 years. Cohen's opening up the wallet there, as we kind of expected him to do so. A lot of signing. We broke down the other three big Mets signings on last episode, so go check that out with Eduardo Escobar, Mark Canha, and Starling Marte if you want to hear our thoughts on those three. But Scherzer now the biggest one to go to New York. That is just absolutely unfair. Scherzer and DeGrom. Like, imagine I put out a tweet earlier today or on Sun or what day is it? Wednesday. Earlier today on Wednesday, about like, imagine going into a 7-game series in the postseason and having to face Scherzer and DeGrom 4 times. That's unfair. Like, that is good luck. And then obviously all the Mets fans that can never fully accept their team. We're just like, oh, well, yeah, we're not going to make the playoffs anyway, or DeGrom will get hurt. It was like, the Mets can never have nice things. It's like, it's kind of funny. They're always kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop. The sky's always falling for Mets fans, like Matt Williams and Simeone and all of them. Sky's always falling. But yeah, Scherzer to the Mets, Kevin Gausman to Toronto, 5 years, $110 million. Robbie Ray leaving Toronto, going out west to Seattle. 5 years, $115 million, so $1 million more per year than Gausman got. Those are the big three. And then, you know, Marcus Stroman's the other big one. We'll get to him in a little bit. Let's start with Scherzer, Gausman, and Ray. Let's start with Scherzer, though. Where do you – does this, like, positively or negatively affect him in 2022? Do you think, Chris, going from the Dodgers to the Mets?
I don't think so. I don't think anywhere he signed could really affect his value. Like, a pitcher of his caliber would be pretty much fine anywhere, I think. So – yeah, I would say it's positive that he's not on Washington anymore. I mean, that's certainly positive. But, you know, whether it be the Dodgers or the Mets, you know, positive either way. So, yeah, he's an interesting one. The dead arm, I wonder what the deal with that is. Like, you have to assume the Mets did their homework for medicals at least, but they were supposed to do Kumar Rocker too, which apparently fell through the cracks. So, I don't know. I have questions. Obviously, want to see Scherzer pitching in the spring, which I think he's going to be totally fine. Not overly worried about that, but he's racked up some serious mileage on his arm over the years. He's going to be, he'll be 38 midseason next year. So what point does he fall off? I don't know. Hopefully it's not soon from a baseball perspective. You know, as a Braves fan, I don't like him signing in New York. I don't want to face him over and over throughout the year.
Right.
So yeah, he's an interesting one from the standpoint of age is against him. Plus the dead arm scenario. I don't know. I mean, still threw 179 innings last year. So I haven't projected 180 innings next year. Could easily surpass that. I mean, he was going deep into games in LA in the regular season. I think he went into the 8th 3 times and the 7th 5 times in LA, which was not a ton of starts. So yeah, he's still got it. He's still, the fastball velo is still there. It hasn't declined at all. Still striking out guys at an all-time high rate. He's impressive. Like, he's kind of like an ageless wonder so far. So yeah, I definitely like it. I think he's a top three fantasy arm. Like, still for me, I'd have Burns and Cole ahead of him, but I don't know. What about you?
I have him ahead of Cole. I have Burns one. It's obviously very close.
Yeah.
We're nitpicking at this point, but yeah, I don't see any reason to not believe that he can do exactly what he's been doing for a long time now. Like, he's shown no signs of slowing down. Like you mentioned, as I mentioned, the fastball velo, it's still there. Like, this last year, it was 94.3. In 2020, it was 94.7, 94.9 in 2019, 94.4 in 2018. So he's only 0.1 miles per hour on average below what he was 3 years ago. He's actually higher than 2017. So it's like, it's always been in that 94 to 95 range on average, and he's still there at 94.3. He's still getting whiffs on all 5 of his offerings. You know, it's kind of insane that you can have 5 pitches with a 27. Like, his worst whiff rate was his cutter, 27%. That's still pretty solid right there. So Yeah, he's shown me no reason to believe that he can't keep doing what he's doing. 28.9 K-minus walk rate last year. You know, all the xERA, all the indicators are still right there. XBA 196. You know, X slug 352. He's still the elite of the elite, and I don't see him selling anytime soon. So I've already taken him in it was a mock draft, but as my ace, as the number two guy off the board, early part of the second round, I'm very happy taking him there. One of the safer guys around. I think he might be the safest elite arm. Him and Cole, obviously, are the two safer ones, but I think he's a little safer than Cole, personally. I think he's a little bit higher upside as well. Pitching in the NL East and as opposed to the AL East, I think they're similar pitchers, but I think just where he's going to be pitching, like the AL East, we talked about the ballparks, the lineups, is this probably the toughest division to pitch in, which gives me the edge to Scherzer for me. But yeah, it was nitpicking, but yeah, he's my number two for 2022. And move over to Gausman and Ray here. We'll kind of group these guys together because both had very, huge breakout years, finished high. You know, Robbie Ray won the Cy Young. Gausman finished high in the NL Cy Young voting. Kind of similar arms, got similar contracts. Who were you higher on for 2022, Chris? Robbie Ray or Kevin Gausman?
That's so tough. I think that Gausman's probably the safer bet, which might be kind of crazy. And maybe now that I'm saying that, maybe I'm wrong in that. But I don't know. I mean, I definitely think regression is coming for Robbie Ray. I think that's obvious by his strand rate being 90%. Like, there's no way he sustains that.
No way.
Yeah, that's coming down. And yeah, it's a ballpark boost for him going to Seattle. I mean, he allows a lot of fly balls, a lot of home runs. So that should suppress that a little bit. I'm just weary of the command sticking. Like, I don't think that 6% walk rate sustains. And I wonder if he pushes back up closer to 10, which, not the worst thing in the world, but obviously going to see some regression there. So I don't know. Both are going to see some regression. Honestly, at the price, I'm probably out on both these guys. And I don't really love the move for Gausman going to Toronto, which can be hitter friendly at some points and pitching in a lot of pitcher-friendly environments in the AL East, like you had mentioned. And Gausman saw some decline last year in the second half and, obviously dominated the first half, 1.73 ERA. Second half, that was up to 4.42, which has me slightly concerned about his sustainability because really that means he's only been elite for the shortened 2020 season, half of the 2021 season. So I don't know. Their prices are really high, and I'm probably out on both of them.
As am I. I think, obviously, they're both very good pitchers. I'm not saying they're not, but look at their ADP right now. They're going actually back-to-back in ADP. Robbie Ray, 44.4. Kevin Gausman, 54.5. If I had to pick, I guess I would go Robbie Ray. I have him a little bit higher in my 2022 ranks, but I'm not going near either of those two at that point. Like, let's look right behind them. Freddy Peralta easily would take Freddy Peralta over both those guys. Logan Webb, I would take Logan Webb over both those guys. Probably Lance Lynn as well. Jack Flaherty, maybe. But I definitely don't like them. They're 15th and 16th starting pitcher off the board. So, right around that SP1, SP2 turnaround there. I don't know. Would you feel comfortable with them as your SP2 though? I think they're still fair to as SP2s, but I don't think I'm getting them where I want to get them. I'm not going anywhere near top 50 on either of these two guys.
Yeah, and I kind of agree. I just take Ray because the strikeout upside's there. Like, you're going to get a lot of strikeouts from him, and even if he regresses like a 4.2 ERA type, then you're still going to get a lot of strikeouts. So worst case, you're beefed up in one category there. So yeah, they'd be interesting. I think they need to push closer to 70 for me to consider them, which won't happen, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. And with Gausman, I don't know. He's mostly a two-pitch guy. 89% of his pitches last year were a four-seamer or the split-fingered. Or excuse me, no, 86%, sorry. But, the splitter obviously is filthy, 45.9% whiff rate. 133 batting average against, 224 slugging against, but the fastball was meh. It was okay. Changeup and slider both seldom used, both right around 6%. Had decent enough whiff rates, but both had XBA right around 300. So you look at his numbers compared to 2020, they're pretty similar, but the ERA was .81 lower. XERA was both basically in line, 355, 352. So I think this will be some regression for both these guys. And yeah, I'm not going to want to take them anywhere near where they're going right now, around top 50. Would you take Peralta and Webb over both those guys?
Yeah, pretty easily.
Yeah. What about Flaherty or Lynn?
Flaherty, yes. Lynn, I don't know. Lynn showed some concerning signs last year, so I don't know. Lynn's kind of in that same boat for me with those guys.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair range. Then there's a little bit of a drop down. I'm assuming you take both these guys over like this cluster of Berríos, Fried, and Luis Castillo.
I don't know. Fried's interesting. Berríos is interesting. Luis Castillo is interesting. I don't know. If Castillo gets moved, he probably jumps up. So yeah, I don't know. That's tough. Fried and Berríos are just like boring, get it done guys. So I don't know. Flip a coin.
Yeah, I might take these guys are all pretty ranked pretty similar for me. And then you got some intriguing guys like Frankie Montas, Joe Musgrove, Alek Manoah. But I think at the price range, because Fried, Castillo, and Berríos are both right around, actually they're 70.3, 70.5, 70.6. So about 20 to 30 picks behind those two at your respective ADPs, definitely would go those three. But I think they're all pretty close in value, so definitely go those three at pick 70 over Gausman and Ray at pick 44 and 54. And then Stroman was the last one to sign here recently, about an hour before we came on. His ADP is 161.2, went to the Cubs 3 years, $71 million. Has an opt-out after the second year. Kind of a little bit surprising. I didn't really see Stroman going to the Cubs there. But what are your thoughts on Stroman going there?
Yeah, he doesn't really fit this team unless the Cubs are just going to keep buying more players to win.
They have the money to do so. They might.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, hey, let's sell off all our guys on expiring contracts, beef up the farm system, then just go buy a new team, which is an interesting strategy.
Did you hear there are like some rumors about they're talking with Rizzo about a reunion? I'm like, I don't get where they're going. It's kind of a peculiar strategy right now.
Yeah. Who knows? But I mean, Stroh's a good pitcher. He's a gamer. He just gets the job done. I mean, he'd probably be surprised to know that his career ERA is 3.63. And, three of his last four seasons, at least we know he didn't pitch in 2020, but three of his last four seasons have produced an ERA under 3.22. So 2017 was 3.09. Then he had a bad year in 2018 with a 5.54. 2019, 3.22. And this year, 3.02. So pretty impressive there, honestly. I mean, he's not going to strike out a lot of guys. We kind of know who he is at this point, but he just gets the job done. So kind of intriguing. I don't know how I feel about the landing spot in Chicago. The defense behind him is kind of interesting at this point. Without Baez at short, yeah, I don't really know. I mean, who even – I'm going to pull up their roster resource because you'll probably have Schwindel at first, Wisdom at third.
I think you got Madrigal and Horner in the middle.
Madrigal. Okay, that's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but obviously it's not Rizzo, Baez, Bryant.
Yeah, it's not terrible defense, though. I mean, Horner's a decent defender.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, so from a defense standpoint, it's not as bad as I thought, which is good. So, yeah, I think he'll be fine. I'm not really worried about it, but I'm just intrigued by what in the world are they doing.
Right? Yeah. And Stroman, I like as a person and as a baseball player, I love Marcus Stroman. I think he's good for the game. He's a guy you want to root for, even if he did make a poor choice in college decisions going to the Duke Blue Devils instead of my North Carolina Tar Heels. But that's a story for another day. But I don't know if for fantasy purposes, I've never been able to get on board on Marcus Stroman. And I don't like that ADP. Look at, he had a 3.02 ERA. That's great. But the Ks have never been there. There was a career high 21.7% this past year, which is still slightly below average, but XERA was 4.30. So I got to wonder if there's, some of that regression coming back. I guess sinker, 294 batting average against, doesn't really get a lot of whiffs, like I said, without the strikeouts being there, if the ERA regresses at all, like even if it's let's split the difference between the ERA and xERA, and that puts it at what, 3.65, 3.7 or so. That with a low 20s K rate. I don't know. There's a lot of the guys I'd rather be going at in that range. This is actually a very, very intriguing range. You want to see some of the names going before and after him. Let's start with, he's at pick 161.2.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Let's go up. Luis Garcia, Camilo Doval, Ranger Suarez, Zach Gallen, Sean Manaea, Luis Severino, Verlander, Valdez, Gilbert. Those are guys like the eight guys above him. Below him, Eduardo Rodriguez, Clayton Kershaw, Sonny Gray, Adam Wainwright, Michael Kopech, Mike Clevenger, Tarik Skubal, Noah Syndergaard, Tanner Houck, Joe Ryan. A lot of names I like in this range. So I highly doubt I'm getting Stroman on any one of my teams. So right now, not a target of mine for 2022, and probably a sell high if you can in Dynasty. Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that take.
Let's talk about this range for. I know we're kind of getting off topic here, but this is a really intriguing range for like all those arms. I mentioned Clayton Kershaw. Yeah, he might retire. Yeah, he's hurt always, but you know he has a range of. This is one of the probably the wider ADP ranges you'll see. 68 of a min pick, 243 max pick. That's insane.
Wow.
It's like to have nearly a 200 pick difference. That is insane. But yeah, E-Rod, we talked about a couple episodes ago. Love E-Rod in this range. I think Sonny Gray is solid. Michael Kopech could break out. Tanner Houck could break out. Zach Gallen's a nice buy low there at pick 150 or so. Luis Severino and Verlander coming back. Yeah, I just don't think I'll get Stroman in any one of my teams because I'll be going after those guys as opposed to Stroman.
Yeah, I mean, why would you not draft Zach Gallen 10 picks earlier? Like, that seems like a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Or take a gamble on Severino or Verlander or even go E-Rod, go if you want to go upside and you have a couple, you know, a staff you can count on already. Maybe go Michael Kopech behind him, Skubal, Houck, Joe Ryan. There's so many good names in that range. I'll be going for those guys over Marcus Stroman here. A couple other intriguing signings. John Gray went to the Texas Rangers, 4 years, $56 million. And Alex Cobb went out to the San Francisco Giants, who kind of are the team to go to right now for pitchers with what they did last year. 2 years, $20 million. I think we can say that the value for 2022 for both these guys has gone up with their signings.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, just based on what the Giants have done with arms recently, like it's just pretty much an easy buy. Everybody's like, oh, to the Giants, value up. So yeah, the ADPs are going to rise on these guys.
Are you, even with their ADP rising, are you in on these two guys? Look at the ADP. Cobb is at 342.9. That's going to go up. Let's just say that bumps up into the 270 range. And then John Gray is at, oh, I don't want Sonny Gray. I want John Gray.
He's at 297.
Yeah, 297. That's probably a bump. So they're probably both in the 250 to 270, right? 275 range in a few months from now. Are you, which one would you rather have of that range? For me, I'm probably a bit more intrigued by John Gray. I've never been an Alex Cobb guy. We've seen, you know, flashes from John Gray, but obviously Colorado kind of just suppressed any and all value or consistent value from him. But would you go Gray or Cobb in that range?
Gray by a mile.
Yeah.
I don't think it's even close. Gray will be interesting because he had to completely like reinvent the way he pitched going to Colorado. And with all those years there, you just wonder like, is he going to just keep doing what he did in Colorado? Or is he going to try to reinvent himself again? Which I'd be interested to see. I'm definitely intrigued, even though his home road splits are pretty similar, which is weird for his career. But also you have to realize like the ball moves so much different in Coors. So pitchers get used to that and they leave. And there's even, I mean, they talk about all the time how when the Rockies go on the road, they're just completely thrown off. So man, I think Gray could be a solid arm. Maybe he's like a four ERA type, but even still, like, pretty intriguing there, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely more intriguing than Cobb for me. I do like Cobb. I think the stuff, like, I definitely agree that the value on him has gone up, but yeah, definitely more intrigued by John Gray. Let's see, Steamer has Gray at 178 innings, 431 ERA. All right, that's, I think he'll be a little, I could see him as like a 3.8, 3.9 type of guy, you know, a little over a K per inning, top 60-ish. I think he could be like a SP 4-5 on value end of the year that you get drafted a little later than that. So, yeah, like the move for both these guys. Definitely guys moving up ADP for sure. This is another interesting range, though, in ADP right here. You got Jesus Luzardo, Eric Lauer, Luis Patino, Jameson Taillon, Carlos Carrasco, Zach Plesac. Another interesting range, a lot of different profiles here. So Luzardo's one I love in that range. I think he's still going to be a nice bounce back. But, yeah, definitely give me John Gray over Alex Cobb for 20 and in Dynasty too. I think John Gray is a nice little buy low right now in Dynasty leagues, but do it soon for people kind of before we get into the season, people realize, oh, hey, he's out of Colorado now. So yeah, definitely arrow pointing up for John Gray. Cobb, man, I don't know. I can't get behind Cobb. You know, like, do you see anything in this profile that makes you like want to draft him this year?
No, I hate to say that. I literally have zero interest in drafting him. And I'm sure like somebody will find a reason to draft him higher than I want to in a draft, but I don't know. I mean, allows a lot of contact, his own contact's high. The strikeouts really aren't there. I mean, last year was a major outlier in his strikeout rate, probably closer to a 20% guy than a 25% guy. Limited home runs for the first time ever. That was strange. Also just doesn't stay healthy and on the mound. How does Steamer project him for 151 innings when he hasn't thrown 150 innings since 2018? I don't get that.
And he's only been over that three times in his career.
Yeah.
And he's not getting any younger. He's what, 30, nope. 34, he's 34 now. Yeah. Not getting any younger. Yeah. No. I even 20%, like look at before this year, the K rate's 16-8, 13-3, 15-4, 17-3, 15-4.
And somehow Steamer projects him at 22.5%. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Yeah, I'm out on Cobb.
I think he's a 4.3 to 4.5 ERA, which maybe people won't like that, but I think it is what it is.
He's a guy that you could probably stream. Like you could stream a similar guy to Alex Cobb. So yeah, I'd rather go at that point in the draft. You know, I probably have several pitchers already on my roster. I'd rather go upside with Jesus Luzardo or maybe see if there's something there with Eric Lauer, but yeah, not Cobb. That's for sure.
You have to assume he's in their rotation based on what they're paying him, right? But how quick could he bump out and be a long reliever? I mean,
pretty soon.
I love Tyler Beede, and he's coming back from TJ, and I think Beede could be an intriguing spot in the rotation. So, you know, who knows? I know Beede's slotting at the five and Cobb at the four, but somebody else could potentially easily bump Cobb out if he's sucking.
Which definitely could happen. Yeah. We've seen that happen. I was looking at it's kind of, I know it was only three starts, but I was looking at his, the Savant page for Cobb. His xERA in 2019 was 19.51.
Holy cow.
I know it was three starts. His actual ERA was 10.95. I was just kind of funny. You don't see a 19.51 xERA on Savant that often.
No.
All right, moving on here. A few reliever signings recently. Raisel Iglesias re-signed with the Los Angeles Angels, 4 years, $56 million. Corey Niebel went to the Philadelphia Phillies, and Mark Melancon to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Obviously, Iglesias is, you know, top five or so reliever for 2021. I think it was kind of people expected him to go back to the Angels, so no surprises there. But Niebel and Melancon are at least intriguing here because I think there's a decent shot that they both close, at least as of now. Like Melancon's probably definitely close for Arizona. Philly, they've kind of linked to Kimbrel, so who knows? They might bring somebody else in. But if they don't, Niebel could be that guy. So both are kind of intriguing moves there for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, I mean, we know what Iglesias is. He's an elite closer, in my opinion. He's kind of locked that up for a while now with that deal. And Melancon, I mean, shoot, the Diamondbacks might win so many close games that he might get 50 saves. Right. I mean, they may win 60 games, but they're all going to be so close that Melanson saves 50 of them. I'm surprised he went there. I really am.
I thought he'd go to a contender. That's why I think I was kind of hesitant to draft him in some of my mocks. I was like, maybe he goes to a contender where he's a setup guy. I thought that was possible.
Yeah, I mean, I figured he'd go back to San Diego, honestly. But I don't know. Definitely like Knebel in Philadelphia. There's a strong chance that they do bring in more relievers. But also important to realize that Knebel hasn't stayed healthy. So that's a factor, too, where he just hasn't pitched much. And, I mean, over the last 2 years, he's thrown 38 innings. So workload could be a factor here. I mean, only threw 25 this year, 13 in 2020. So I think that's something to monitor too. Like maybe he doesn't get the everyday share. I was talking to Greg Jewett, who is the bullpen guru, earlier today about that actually. And he's not confident in the fact that Knebel will be the closer in Philly. Even though Knebel has nasty stuff, like he would be interesting, but I think the injuries are concerning. And the lack of him having to be monitored for innings. So it'll be an interesting one to follow for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're looking at roster resource right now. They have both him and Alvarado both having the closer tag. So, yeah, and they might bring in, like I said, somebody else, or whether it's Craig Kimbrel or whoever it is. Definitely something to monitor, though. Maybe just give him a shot. You know, he could be the closer, get 10, 15 saves or so. So maybe this is one of those deeper league targets for saves later on in your drafts. Got to keep an eye on for sure. Some other minor moves here. Michael Lorenzen went to the Los Angeles Angels for 1 year, $7 million. Said he wants to be a two-way guy. He has the best two-way guy in the world on his team now, so we'll see if that happens. A couple other relievers signed. Daniel Hudson went out to the Dodgers. Kirby Yates to Atlanta. And then I meant to do this on the open. I got to apologize to everyone listening, because if you're a fan of any of the other 29 teams, just mail it in. Don't play the season. Just give the World Series trophy for 2022 to the Boston Red Sox, because we got Rich Hill, Michael Wacha, and James Paxton, baby. We're going all the way with these broken down arms. I don't know how many broken down lefties we need, but got Paxton 1 year, $10 million. Bundy one at five. Oh no, excuse me, Rich Hill, and then Dylan Bundy also signed for one at five. Out of all these moves, Chris, anything intriguing for fantasy purposes?
Well, I was going to bring up, I'd take James Paxton over Alex Cobb by a mile. I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but I'd much rather have James Paxton. At least when he pitches, he's decent.
He'll be more fun the roster, that's for sure. But
yeah,
I don't know. He can't stay healthy anymore.
Yeah, the Red Sox rotation is significantly better than last year. I'll say that.
But at this point, I don't know. I wanted them to upgrade the pitching. Erod left. I was like, all right, I wanted to get an Erod level guy or higher. Obviously, that hasn't happened. You know, these guys are at least intriguing. We have some solid depth now. But does this push Tanner Houck out of the rotation? I hope not. They still have him as the SP4 and rostered resource, but they have Wacha at five, Rich Hill at six. I don't think they've even put. Oh, no, Paxton's here. So he's going to miss the first like 2 months of the season. Probably he'll be back midseason, but I don't know. I just hope they don't mess with Houck. That would be the biggest fantasy implication here. Cause I don't Wacha, Hill, Paxton, when he comes back, sure. Could be, has some value, but Wacha, Rich Hill aren't going to be guys you're targeting really in, you know, maybe deeper leagues. You'll target these guys, but I just really hope Houck still has a spot and they don't kind of do that. Kind of, hey, start a couple games here, then, hey, go to the bullpen for 3 weeks thing that they were doing last year, which annoyed the living you-know-what out of me, because he is probably his talent-wise is up there with the Eovaldi, and so he's that talented. I'm not going to say he's going to be Sale, don't take it that way, but just the talent alone, I want to see how good that shot. So hopefully he does, but very intriguing moves, though, by the Red Sox.
Yep, yeah, it's interesting. I hope Houck gets a shot in the rotation as well.
And this also probably signals that Garrett Whitlock will not. He's still listed in the bullpen as the closer, though, which could be intriguing. I wrote about him and Houck about a month or so ago. Love both these guys for 2022. If the Red Sox don't bring in a closer, which at this point I don't believe they will, maybe they bring in some bullpen help, but not a big name closer. I think Whitlock's the guy. I think Barnes showed that he's can't be relied upon as a closer. He's more of a seventh, eighth inning guy. Same with Brazier, you know, Josh Taylor, these types of guys. They're more sort of like setup men than closer. And Garrett Whitlock, I think, is the best bullpen arm that the Red Sox have. So definitely some intrigue there. But yeah, hopefully Houck still gets his shot. He could be a top 50 arm next year. I really think that. I think we've hit everything, Chris. Anything we're missing here?
No, that was a lot. We hit a lot of names in an hour, but we did it.
Yeah, we kept it right under an hour. I didn't think we could do it, but we did. So that's going to wrap us up. Thanks to everyone for listening again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at FantraxHQ.com or over on our Patreon. Join us again next time for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.